Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
Ask a little bit more about the stand down and the documents the Pentagon put out. It says service members must reject active participation in extremist organizations, but still mere membership is allowed. And will you look into that, maybe banning mere membership? And is that something you can do, or is that something Congress will have to weigh in on?
No, that's certainly within the Secretary's authority to make that call if he wants to. But you're right, and we've talked about this before. Membership alone is not prohibited right now, but it is something, and I think the Secretary has spoken to this, that he is certainly willing to look at and to ask the question of the services as we move forward on this about whether or not membership alone would also be prohibited. It isn't right now.
So remember, this is all about the stand down to root out extremism, to get people in the military to think about their oath. We've talked about this before, that and on one level, it makes a lot of sense. It's a good basic idea to make sure to root it out. On the other hand, there's a part of me that thinks this is kind of like saying this is a big problem in the military, and if it is, fine. But if it's not, it's kind of making an allegation about members of the military that I certainly don't appreciate. But nevertheless, this is, you know, former Admiral Kirby, who was the Pentagon press secretary. By the way, Kirby is, he really is kind of the gold standard in press secretaries, in my opinion, at the national level, just because I think he always tries his best to answer the question. Honestly, I think he always tries to give a fair answer. I find him credible. I don't find him condescending. I wish he were the White House press secretary, honestly. Jen Psaki has grown entirely on my nerves, and I wish Kirby would take over the job. He won't. I don't think he will. I think he's pretty comfortable where he is. But anyway, talking about the stand down and the distinction between just being a member of a group versus being an active member of the group. Active is a no-go.
What we continue to say is that activity based on this this kind of extreme ideology that is prejudicial to good order and discipline and or harms fellow teammates obviously can be punishable under the Uniform Code of Military Justice, and that's still the case.
One of the things that came from the press secretary was this issue of the oath, which, again, as Lloyd Austin had, SecDef, had told people in the video that we talked about last week, I guess it was, maybe it was Monday, it's days meld into each other a little bit, but that they're wanting to get people to think about their oath and what it means and what is the role of the military in a constitutional republic like ours. But in the Navy, they're having to reaffirm the oath, to actually have to say the oath again.
As part of the stand down, the Navy is requiring all its sailors to retake the oath of enlistment. And I was wondering if the Secretary has recommended to the other services that they also have their members retake their oath. And then I have a follow up.
I know of no direction that he's given to the other services to do that, but he's supportive of the Navy's direction in that regard. And if you looked at the video, he specifically asked service members, the whole workforce, to think about their oath as they think about this stand down. But I know of no such direction to the other services to do that.
So the Navy, they are retaking the oath. The other services have not announced the decision to make people retake the oath. And then particularly this issue of, you know, are you trying to find the people who have become more radicalized when they're in the military, to whatever direction, you know, if you want to say to the left or to the right or to Muslim or, I mean, whatever direction you want to say, is that what they're looking for? Or are they trying to screen people before they get in? It's a very interesting conundrum. And he, in answering this question, brings up a distinction I did not realize was in place, which is to what degree they're even legally allowed to investigate people prior to them becoming accepted members of the military.
As you know, the recruiting commands play an important role in this too. Yeah. Is the Secretary going to reach out separately to them? I was looking in the guidance, and while there's general guidance all overall, there's not specific for recruiters or for recruiting commands on how to actually weed out potentially extremists before they ever join.
I don't I know of no plans for him to reach out specifically point to point at his level to each recruiting command, but he has talked to the chiefs and the acting service secretaries about, in fact, they brought it up. I mean, there's mutual concerns on both sides about the recruiting process and asking ourselves if we've got this right. Are we doing enough of the right kind of vetting for potential recruits before they come in? And are we able to catch that kind of activity, to include looking at social media profiles? There's a limit to what you can do legally, because before they sign the dotted line and raise their hand and give that oath, they're private citizens. So there's some limits there, but they've all of them, including the secretary, have asked themselves, you know, what more could we be doing to try to be able to catch some of this behavior before they come in.
That's a really interesting thing, because I would not have thought. I mean, typically if you go to apply for a job, I mean, you just have to assume they're looking at your social media, right? And apparently if you go to enlist in the military, there's restrictions against them looking at your social media, some kind of restriction, apparently, before you actually swear the oath, before you actually enlist, which is kind of a double catch-22, because if they can't look before, then they can't screen you prior. But, of course, once you've enlisted, they can't really come back and be like, yeah, not really, right? So, I don't know. I just didn't realize that was a distinction. But, again, just my overall take on this, feel free to disagree with me, and especially if you're in the military, I'd love to hear your perspective. Or if I don't think this has been done yet here locally, but I haven't checked. I need to go call my folks at NAS Pensacola and Whiting Field and find out if they've done it yet here. If they have, feel free to let me know. I'm curious. But, again, I think the purpose of making sure that everybody understands the role of the military in our constitutional republic, great. The purpose of making sure to eliminate any active participation in any kind of extremism, also great. But this kind of, we're going to announce it so that everybody knows what's going on, and we're going to make a big deal about we're looking for this in the military, based on the predicate or premise that it must be widespread enough to justify such an investigation and a stand down, that bothers me. That bothers me. 6:15 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 16. But, like, I mean, imagine if the president said, he doesn't have the authority to do this, but imagine if the president said, all right, we're going to take one day off for all the cops to think about racism in the country. I mean, it's kind of saying that they all need it, that they're all, at least enough of them are that bad. And you say, well, that'd be a good idea. But you get my point. That's what would be the implied message, right? Davis Allen, time for Traffic on the Fives.
And I just received a report that on 9 Mile Road at Cove Avenue westbound, there's a minor accident. Not really seeing any delays, but use caution when in that direction. If you're at the front gate of NAS Pensacola, then you already know that you're stuck in delays. It's backed up around the area of Central Avenue. Back gate is so far not showing any delays. Gulf Beach Highway and Blue Angel Parkway are checking in clear, although earlier I did receive a report along Blue Angel Parkway that at Muldoon Road, the light is flashing yellow. Avalon Boulevard and Garcon Point Bridge still checking in clear, and Gulf Breeze Parkway, Navarre Parkway also reporting no delays. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the Fives.
So Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway, the website is called carclinicservice.com. And you say, well, that's not the name. Yeah, but the reason is because they want you to think about your car sort of like you think about your doctor. Like, you don't only go to the doctor when something is broken. You go to the doctor for routine well visits to make sure that everything is right. Same thing with your car. I mean, you know you need scheduled maintenance. But beyond that, you need somebody to look at it routinely, you know, once a year, maybe something like that, just to check, just to make sure that nothing's going on, because maintenance is preventative and it prevents those problems. And if you can catch stuff early or before, you can save money and you can be sure that you're always safe, and you can be sure that you're getting the best performance and gas mileage, all of that stuff out of your car. So that's kind of their model. Plus, whenever they do any kind of inspection or maintenance, they take pictures, you get copies of those. I mean, it's just digitally, okay? Not, they don't hand you like Polaroids or anything. And so you have all that information so you can compare over time and see what's been done and all that. So anyway, if beginning to understand the value of looking at your car as something that needs routine preventative maintenance or even well visits, that's what Bobby Likas is all about. Of course, they specialize in diesel trucks. They specialize in high-end imports and all that stuff. But the preventative maintenance, that's really their gig. Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway or online at carclinicservice.com.
don't know for sure whether we will definitely get it this week, but we think we probably will. We don't know exactly how much, but tentatively, the numbers that we're looking at for Johnson & Johnson shipment to Florida this week is 175,000 doses. Now, that has not been confirmed yet, but we hope it will be very, very soon.
Hoping that would be an appropriate share, and because in part of the expanded Johnson & Johnson and the FEMA teams, the Department of Defense FEMA teams that are coming here.
Because we think we're going to get J&J this week, and because we are starting to see higher allocations of the Pfizer, we're also going to see these federal sites open up in four different parts of our state this week. I'll be signing an executive order later today to expand vaccine eligibility to all sworn law enforcement officers age 50 and above, all firefighters age 50 and above, and all K through 12 school personnel age 50 and above.
Dang, it's still not in there. I'm 50 and up. I qualify there just barely, still don't qualify as one of the key types. Although interesting that the mayor got vaccinated. Mayor Grover Robinson told us yesterday that he had got vaccinated. The question came up of, like, under what category? And his answer was because of his body mass index. So he'd be vulnerable. Okay. I mean, I understand that answer. I'm not saying he broke a rule. I'm just saying, I don't know. I don't know that I'd qualify exactly. I'm probably not quite there, but still, I've been of the opinion that I will wait until, like, my category is really fully there. Like, I don't have, because I've heard other people, I'm not saying the mayor did this, but I've heard other people talk about, you know, I could probably tell them something, you know, and get in. Yeah, but then you're taking a vaccine away from somebody else. That's kind of the way I look at it. Oh, by the way, the Florida sites that are coming, actually, former Admiral retired Admiral Kirby, he actually talked about this at the Pentagon yesterday.
We have four type 2 teams. This is 139 personnel that have been assigned but not sourced in Florida, in sites in Miami, Tampa, Orlando, and Jacksonville. We are hoping to get them on the ground by the 3rd, so that's the day after tomorrow.
So tomorrow, actually. You know, now, because this is yesterday, he was talking about that. So the four locations, Orlando, Jacksonville, Miami, and Tampa, are going to have those level 2 teams, 139 people each. So not here, obviously, but still. 437-1620, Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
Coronavirus cases rising again in the country amid concerns over new variants.
After several weeks of declining cases, new cases are suddenly up more than 2% nationwide to 67,200 per day. Deaths are also up 2% to nearly 2,000 per day, just as some cities and states are relaxing COVID restrictions.
That's NBC's Tom Costello reporting. A third woman accusing New York Governor Andrew Cuomo of inappropriate conduct. According to the New York Times, the woman says Cuomo made unwanted advances toward her at a wedding in 2019. Today's Read Across America Day, the annual event designed to inspire kids to read, traditionally tied to March 2nd being the birthday of Dr. Seuss.
And you know who's not involved this year?
Who's that?
Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss.
The White House omitted Dr. Seuss in their announcement about this year, which has historically, you know,
yeah,
Obama, Clinton, everybody.
I see some that it's, some program, they say they're starting to move away from focusing on his books because of concerns about some racial overtones.
I just want to throttle people. You're telling me that Dr. Seuss is moving into the cancel zone. Dr. Seuss.
What it sounds like.
And this is what cracks me up about this is, not, I don't know how deeply you are into Dr. Seuss, Mark, but I grew up on Dr. Seuss.
I grew up on Dr. Seuss.
I was raised in a very liberal household, and Dr. Seuss is as liberal as it could be. And wonderful. By the way, I'm not objecting. I'm just saying, The Lorax is an environmental tract. The Butter Battle Book is a pacifist tract. The Sneetches is an egalitarian tract. Look at his work. He is as dyed-in-the-wool liberal as you can possibly be, and he's getting canceled. There's no satisfying this San Francisco Inquisition. There's no satisfying it. You will never be on the right. Anyway, all right, sorry, Mark. I love this country. I hate this nonsense. 625 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Dr. Seuss is not acceptable. Oh, my goodness. It's amazing. Oh, hey, by the way, good news. This week is the Sun Belt Conference, men's and women's basketball. We have session number 7 coming up on the 6th. That would be, what, Saturday, right, Davis? That's Saturday, I think.
Six and seven.
I have 4 tickets to go watch the men play basketball on Saturday, session 7. If you want to go, you'd be caller number, well, since it's session number 7, let's make it caller number 2. I know it's not related to anything, but that's okay. 437-1620. Caller number 2 wins these tickets, 437-1620. Davis Allen with traffic on the 5s.
All right, taking a look at northbound Garcon Point Bridge. It appears that we're already seeing delays as you're trying to leave Gulf Breeze. Now, as you're going across the hump, it begins to clear up in Avalon Boulevard in both directions is checking in clear. We are also seeing delays at the front gate of NAS Pensacola, backed up to Central Avenue. The back gate is flowing smoothly and still seeing no delays along I-10 or I-110. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the 5s.
You know, we all get to that point with our car where the, you know, things are just not going the way they should. The car is like, we maybe loved it in the beginning, and then we loved it a little bit less, and then we liked it, and then we sort of put up with it, and then eventually we're like, we got to break up with this car. This car is killing me. Okay, well, if you're at that point, or you know what happens is you kind of talk yourself into not doing anything about the car that's here. Like, you know you got to break up with that car, but it's not quite there yet. It's there yet. You shouldn't have to endure it. You should enjoy your car. So you go to Frontier Motors, where they have 400 cars and trucks on the lot, late model, made a year, 2-3 years ago, good condition, low miles. And what you do is you drive a couple of them. You sit in a couple of them. You try it out. You know what you'll discover? Oh, man. That's what it feels like your car again. And not only will you get yourself into a car that you enjoy, but you probably will save money in the process. Because if you're getting to that point where you hate your car, you're probably also at that point where it's like every 6 months to a year, there's something. $500, $1,500. You know how this goes. So if you're not putting that kind of money into repairing the car, you can actually afford to have a better one. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Okay, this is seriously? I had a friend text me that apparently the AP is reporting just this hour that there are now 6 Dr. Seuss books that are not going to be published because of racist imagery. Oh, good Lord. And to think that I saw it on Mulberry Street, are you kidding me? If I Ran the Zoo is on this list? McGilead's Pool? Where's the? I just had the list and then I moved away from it for a second. Oh, yeah. On Beyond Zebra, Scrambled Egg Super, and The Cat's Quizzer. Listen, this ex post facto morality has got to stop. And the notion that you're just going to stop making a thing, you're going to censor it. And I mean, seriously, when, who was it? Tom Cotton over the weekend at CPAC said that these people read 1984 as a how-to manual, as a warning. I think he's right. They really think you just, you know, you gotta put the warning label on the Muppets. You got to pull the song in the South. You know, you got, and I understand there's issues with any particular thing. You know, you can't have Dumbo. That's no good. And now Dr. Seuss, nothing will survive. Nothing will survive this Inquisition. There's nothing squeaky enough. And if it is today, it won't be in 2 years.
I'm sitting in the Knoxville courthouse, I ain't got a thing to do. I don't want to go to the movies, I couldn't if I wanted to.
You know, for a long time, it couldn't get funding approved, had to do it around a referendum eventually. There was a lot of opposition at kind of every level. What's your sense of how people are reacting now? Are they more embracing it that they see it up, or are there still a lot of people kind of frustrated that this even got done in the first place?
I think there's probably still some frustration, you know, over the location and things, but we needed to move forward. We know you can never make everyone happy in this job. That's one thing I learned, you know, real quick right off the snap. But I think once people see it and can experience it and realize that it's going to be the showpiece for Santa Rosa County and its location is more convenient for folks. Like I said, if you haven't served on jury duty or been in that old courthouse, take a tour through that and then come tell me this one isn't a better option for us.
County Commission Chairman Dave Peach, District 4 in Navarre, talking about the new courthouse as we did a tour of it. Sort of a tour. The outside, it was kind of a show and show. It wasn't really a tour exactly, but it was on the outside. And look, you know, the surrounding area with Avalon being finished, there's all kinds of opportunity for growth in that area for commercial and retail development. There's other court functions that are eventually going to go there. It's going to be a whole court complex all around that area. The separation of the inside, the separation of the streams of traffic. There's all kinds of things about this. And look, I was surprised the county commission did this several years ago after several failures to get voter support for it. I know there are still people angry about it, as I asked their Dave Peach about it, but you know, at this point it's a little bit water under the bridge or not. You know, we'll see. You've already got two out of the three sitting commissioners got voted off, not necessarily for this reason. You know, I think the only people, in fact, let me think about who's on the commission. Bob Cole and maybe Sam Parker, I think, are the only ones still on the commission who would be sort of, you know, you could punish them maybe. You know, Dave Peach, I guess. Anyway, so I'm just thinking about if that were going to become an election issue. But anyway, back to the actual courthouse itself. I had a chance to talk to David Alsop. He is the main architect for the project with Sam Marshall Architects. So you really are one of the key designers of the entire project. Is that right?
I'm basically the project architect.
Okay.
And then there's a whole team of people working on it.
Sure. So I have not been in the old courthouse. I feel like it's kind of a thing that I wish I had before. So I can't talk before and after. I know you can. Can you just tell people a little bit about that before and after and some of the things that you've done to make this courthouse function more effectively?
The biggest difference between these two courthouses is the separation of circulation. That courthouse has everyone moving down the same corridor at the same time almost. This will have circulation for the public, circulation for the people who are coming to court as soon to be adjudicated, and separate separation for the judges and court security.
Okay.
So that is the primary difference between that building and that old courthouse served everything. When it was built, it was the home for so many different departments. It was the county office complete. Yes.
Yeah. So separating the traffic flow among the civilians, among security, obviously the people who have been charged, yeah, and also the judges. I'm thinking about the Escambia Courthouse and how it works over there, and thinking that's the way it should be. But when you're working on a building that's that old, you cannot fix those things internally, so you design a whole new thing.
Yeah, there was no way to do that within the walls, and we've been involved with that courthouse for 30 years.
Okay. So you were intimately familiar with the flaws and the improvements needed.
Yeah, I live in Santa Rosa County, and I've served on jury duty in that courthouse and know the conditions, and then also know it as an architect.
So for people who know that experience, you know, they've been on a jury, when they come here, when this is fully functional later in the end of the year, what are they going to experience? How is it going to be different?
Well, in the existing courthouse, there's no jury assembly room. They have to take over one of the courtrooms. Here, there's a jury assembly room that's separate, so and be much more user-friendly. You might have noticed that there's a tent in front of the existing courthouse to protect people from the rain and keep them out of the bright sunlight. And we'll have a covered walk that extends off of the entry here out this way to protect people as they're waiting to get in the building. You got to queue up and go through security. So
okay,
there's going to be much more comfort for the general public coming to do business or serve as a juror.
I also assume that there is a dramatic improvement in the use of technology in the new facility.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah.
What kinds of things are going to be different here technologically?
Really the displays, the interactive, the recording devices, the acoustics, sound control. The air conditioning system is going to be vastly improved. And you've never been in the old courthouse, but it's either too hot or too cold.
Uh-huh.
And there's no in-between. This will really be fine-tuned and be much more energy efficient.
And I assume similarly, aside from just separating the people flow, that the security measures are much more sophisticated, built for what we understand is necessary today.
Yes.
How much did COVID-19 and or mitigation against potential diseases function in the design here? Because obviously right now, civil trials are not happening. Criminal trials have been off and on. Did you design anything specifically for functionality through a pandemic?
We're addressing that as we go. This project was in design long before COVID was an issue.
Sure.
And so everyone who lives and works in the courthouse has made adjustments, and they'll bring that knowledge with them, and we'll adjust in here based on how we're all living and getting along once we get in the building.
Will this also offer, Commissioner Peach talked about the ability to offer expansion to other county offices. Would that be inside this building, or would that need a separate facility? What's the plan there?
This is actually planned as a judicial complex.
Okay.
So this site was master designed for one or two additional buildings on site.
And then how many people are employed on the project right now, do you know?
I think there's about 100 people working on the job currently.
Okay. And it's going to finish up end of the year? We're going to move in when?
I believe the commissioner said that the timeline was the second quarter.
Second quarter. Very good. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate the time.
You're welcome.
So that was David Alsop. He is the main architect with Sam Marshall Architects for the Santa Rosa County Courthouse project, which anybody who drives up and down Avalon, you see it. I mean, you cannot miss it. There will be no question of, well, where do I go? You'll know where to go. 6:45. And it's kind of interesting, too, because that same day when we did the the outside brief press conference with Commissioner Peach, they were also going to be doing a Q&A on social media with a bunch of students who were interested in engineering projects so that they could learn about the process of how it was being built, because it's being the outside is being done modular. You know, those exterior wall panels. In fact, if you think on our Facebook page, on News Radio's Facebook page, I think I did a video with that. If I didn't, I'll have to put it up there. But of watching the panels get installed, you know, getting put up, it's kind of cool to see. You know, it's just a different way of doing the exterior architecture. 6:46, News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. And again, that's going to open quarter two of next year is the target. You know, so May, June, something like that of 2022. Dave Azalm with Traffic on the Fives.
So we do have a road closure, Highway 98. Navarre Parkway. This is westbound in front of the Walmart, more specifically the Murphy USA. So that stretch again closed off. And as I'm just taking a look at what alternate routes are available, if you need to go around it, Whispering Pines Boulevard, take that northbound on through to Powder Lane, and then you can take that through on up through Abadco Drive, East River Drive, and then back southbound. A lot of roadways, but it's one way that you could get around that would end up dumping you out through the Shrimp Basket through Navarre. So again, this is westbound closure. Eastbound also showing delays as a result of this closure in front of the Walmart. Now, as you're traveling northbound across Garcon Point Bridge, it is very slow moving, getting onto Avalon. Avalon, though, still checking in clear. We're also seeing some delays traveling along Gulf Breeze Parkway eastbound as a result of these delays. And the front gate of NES Pensacola still shows delays over by Interbay Avenue. Back gate flowing smoothly. I-10, I-110 checking in clear. I'm Davis Allen with your Traffic on the Fives.
I know you don't want to hear these words, but ants, cockroaches, termites, mosquitoes, spiders. I know. But especially, like, have you seen the anthills, like, in the last couple of weeks? It's crazy. Right? So what do you do? Well, if you have pests, you call NSEC, right? They've got a pest control program that targets 25 of our area's most common household pests. Their techs are professional, they're courteous, they're trained, they show up on time. You get a report emailed to you with photos of what was found and of what was used to treat the problem, and then you see the results, which are guaranteed, right? That's the idea. Now, for a limited time, new annual pest control customers get $65 off. There are some restrictions, so you got to go see NSEC for details, but that's the idea. And, of course, it's a free estimate. You know, again, like I tell about anything, you know, call a couple of different places and compare. That's fine. No problem with that. The estimate is totally, nobody should charge you for an estimate for pest control stuff, right? So if you're wanting to control the pests this year in your house, NSEC, ENSEC.net.
My heart only runs on supreme. So hot, give me your gasoline.
Hey, y'all,
national average for a gallon of gas, 272. Florida average, 266. Bridgeport, California, burst the bubble, 509. Thank you, Biden. 159 in Houston, Texas. This morning in Navarre, 255 if you can get there. 255 at the Walmart East and West. 265 up 87. 267 is at the second, Tom Thumb. 265 in Gulf Breeze proper. Remember when these prices were 210? 259 in Tiger Point. 254 at the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge. 255 at the Raceway. At the CEFCO in Milton. 261 down Avalon. 255 at the Pea Ridge Walmart. 261 before you come on the causeway getting over into Pensacola. 259 at the which one is that? That's the Tom Thumb at North Davis. 254 at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29. And then coming in from the southwest side, you've got, 259 at the Navy Exchange or at the TNC on Navy. 651 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
Coronavirus infections rising again across the country, well, along with concerns about new variants. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky says both new cases and deaths have jumped 2% over the past week. Governor Phil Murphy expecting schools across New Jersey to get back in-person learning next school year.
Good Lord.
I think we will get there, and we are getting there, at a minimum in a hybrid format, but I hope even more full in-person, assuming we can do it safely and responsibly.
Murphy says as long as things continue going in the direction they are currently in, he fully expects students to return to classrooms in September, if not sooner.
Where was this?
New Jersey.
Golly. Go ahead.
In the market for a new home? Might want to tip off Christina Leavenworth on this one here.
All right.
LeBron's old house is for sale. TMZ says the NBA superstar has listed his mansion in Brentwood for, $20 million. He and his family now live in their new mansion in Beverly Hills that cost $36 million. So you got to get rid of that.
So this is the shack.
Yeah, this is the old, run down.
Yeah, right. It's a fixer-upper at $20 million
in Brentwood.
Yeah. You know what always I find fascinating, and this is so unrelated to what you're doing, but you just got me thinking about it. You ever watch Pawn Stars?
Yes.
Okay, my wife loves Pawn Stars, and I get hooked in every time because she usually watches it without me. But I'm cooking, so I'll overhear.
Let me
stuff.
Call my good friend.
Yeah, exactly.
Come in and take a look at this.
So I have this same thought about like real estate, cars, anything, which is they haggle over 18 cents for an item that's like $5, you know, or $100, I'd take 50. How about 52? Right. And then, when it comes to big items, $5,000 or $10,000 one way or the other. I've never been able to rationalize that in my head. Like if $2 matters on the $100 item, then $2 should matter on the $20 million house. But human brain doesn't work that way.
Nope.
That's my thought is, why is it 20 million? And not
20? I do that with small items. When I'm buying smaller items, but this one's a dollar more than that one.
Right.
But then I'll go out and buy
exactly.
a new car, and it's like,
And you don't even think about an extra $100 or $200. Exactly. Like the home price, $20 million and $15,000. Nobody would care. But that's $15,000. I'm sorry, get excited. But that's my thought. We're irrational about math all the time. Mark Jacobs, thanks for the update. Davis Allen, time for a quick shot of sports.
Well, former Houston Texan defensive end J.J. Watt signing a pretty nice deal with the Arizona Cardinals. It was speculated where he was going to end up going. He will be going to the Cardinals for 2 years with a contract worth $31 million, and 23 of that is guaranteed no matter what.
Wow.
So not bad for the injury-prone defensive end.
I was just going to say, and where is he in his career? Like
he's
back half at least,
back
right?
Back half. Okay. I believe he is back half. He's going to be a Hall of Famer, though, so he don't have to worry. University of Michigan is now the number two team in the nation when it comes to college basketball in the coaches poll. They're 18-1, led by Juwan Howard, who is a member of the Fab Five. So I'm personally interested in that. Gonzaga, though, remains.
Wait, he's coaching the team?
Yeah, he's coaching the team.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
Really cool. Gonzaga is the number one team in the nation. No, they are 24-0. Baylor, they were undefeated, but they lost a game over the weekend. They're now number three. And Andrew, you'll like this. Your alma mater comes in at number four.
Really?
Yeah, they're the four.
We never perform in the tournament.
Well, you never know.
It's been like 30 years since we made the final four.
What? It's 05. You lost to North Carolina.
Yeah,
you did lose.
I don't want to think about that.
In Alabama.
Illinois, by the way, we're talking about here.
Illinois. We are talking about Illinois and Alabama. They were good in football, now good in basketball. They're ranked number five. So, good for them.
When is the tournament? The D1 NCAA tournament? Because obviously we have the Sunbelt Conference here this week, but when is it? Like middle of March or something?
Yeah, it's going to be happening middle of March. Typically happens about a day or two after Selection Sunday, which, didn't you say, you told me it was like the 19th or the 14th?
15th, somewhere 15th, in that vicinity.
In that area. Oh, okay. And by the way, because Florida State's now a basketball school, not a football school. They signed Leonard Hamilton, their head coach, to a five-year deal. They are doing really well. Although they lost over the weekend, they are doing well. And let's go ahead and roll this into your traffic, because we do have a road closure on Highway 98. Going westbound in Navarre Parkway in front of the Walmart out there, more in front of the Murphy USA, but it is closed due to a major accident, and eastbound is also showing delays as a result of this. Be ready to pack your patience. Whispering Pines Boulevard, before you get to the accident, you can go up that road, take that on over to East River Drive, and then back on down if you want to try and get back onto the highway. Now, taking a look at Garcon Point Bridge going northbound, it is also delayed leaving Gulf Breeze. Once you get onto Avalon Boulevard, though, it's going to check in clear all the way to I-10, which, by the way, I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. And good news to report, I'm not really seeing delays at the front gate of NES Pensacola right now, and back gate is flowing smoothly. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Time for future news. Davis and I tell you what's going to happen before it happens. Okay, so cancel culture comes on National Reading Aloud Day for Theodore Geisel, Dr. Seuss, whose birthday it was put on in honor of him. Will the books that they are not going to publish anymore, will this mean more sales for Dr. Seuss or fewer sales for Dr. Seuss?
Yeah, cancel culture is a funny thing. I think this will result in more sales for Dr. Seuss.
I'll tell you what, I'm going home immediately to make sure I have these six books. And if I don't have them, I'm probably going to find a way to get them because they're all good ones. Meanwhile, the United Methodist Church might be splitting over the issue of whether you can have openly active gays in the church or not, and in leadership. Will the United Methodist Church split? Second biggest denomination in the U.S.
Yes.
Yeah, I do think so. This has been coming for years. And this will be, you know, the Methodists had already, the Free Methodists split 100 years ago. Anyway, Johnson & Johnson, 170,000 doses. Will we get them in Florida? If so, when?
I thought it was going to be today. I still say today.
Yeah, I think it'll be this week, and I do think we'll get roughly that amount. Will the Department of Defense sites be set up tomorrow, the four sites being run by FEMA?
Yes.
I do think so, yes. Not here, so it doesn't exactly affect us. Will the China rules work? Will the feds try to preempt them off of Florida?
No.
This is going to be an interesting conflict, I think, with the Biden administration.
News, talk, traffic, and weather for Northwest Florida.